it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Germanicus Marco Vlejos. As Gaius and Germanicus, we reflect upon the history of the first century AD, all of the mistakes from Augustus, who invented the imperial model, the emperor school, to his successor, Tiberius, to his successor, the much lamented but also despised Caligula, to his successor, the surprisingly successful, but in the end, not with his wife Agrippina, Claudius. There is something about poison mushrooms. And then to Nero, who was emperor in Rome at the time of the destruction of the Roman outposts of Camulodunum and Londinium in 61 AD. We're many years later now and content to reflect upon peace is at hand. We're surrounded by retired centurions. There's a lot of trade. We haven't even built a wall here at Londinium. We're that safe from the tribes around us, though there's always rumors carried by people who were probably druids. We're not sure. Romans feared druids for good reason. The magic is scary. We go to the 21st century where magic is also practiced. And the magic is press releases of new support for the Ukrainian army fighting the Russian army in the Donbass. The headline, Germanicus, I give you to comment upon is not only the tanks, the main battle tanks coming from Germany, from Poland, from Finland. There's even talk of main battle tanks coming from France. Spain is getting into the bidding. It's like poker chips being thrown on the table. These are German-built tanks. There's also talk of American-built tanks showing up eventually. But now, Ukraine could get F-16 fighter jets as support within Pentagon grows. This is London reporting. Subhead, military officials said to be sympathetic to Kyiv's calls for more aircraft to help shoot down Russian missiles and drones. Germanicus, we're told again and again by the London media and by the American media echoing it that the Russians are preparing a spring offensive, perhaps as early as late winter, to crush the Donbass front line and roll up Novorossiya. We're also told again and again these days that the Ukrainians are building counteroffensive capability and will strike at Crimea. How do you measure right now the war? Is this loose talk by commanders? Is this backed up by the arsenal of democracy? And on the other side, the Russians, are they at this point in a position to launch an offensive against Kyiv that is defended by front lines in Donbass, not much about the defense in the north? Thank you.
The difficulty that we've touched on again and again over the past months is that the United States overestimated Russia initially, and then has now, reduced it in its own eyes to a paper tiger, or some sort of completely inept enterprise of war. And that is not only not just the case, but in using this new vision of Russia as a failing a power and making that the linchpin of American strategy and its calculation of objectives and goals in Ukraine, it is at the mercy of that images or that assessment's falsity. And as it becomes increasingly clear over time that Russia is an entirely different proposition and that its military is actually an adaptable learning enterprise that has regrouped, rebuilt, and is now in a very powerful position against a Ukrainian military that has been just worn down in attritional battles. And it has to be said, Ukraine has lost two entire armies And now, if you look at videos available in the social media, you can see in places like Bakhmut under siege, you can see clearly veteran conscripts who are in their later 50s. It's a terrifying thing. Also, if you get you can watch video of the graveyards in Ukraine, and they go on and on. You see thousands and thousands of flags in the breeze, and that is also disheartening. And in fact, the best estimates now that are corroborated both on the Russian side, but more importantly on the NATO side, and even among Ukrainian officials, put the number of irrecoverable losses by Ukraine at about 500,000. So Ukraine is worn down, but the problem is that the American Empire keeps breathing new life into Ukraine and not being able to let it go. It's like the Romans. If they lost something, they always tried to recover it, even if it was 50 years after the loss, with Constantine saying, well, we'll take Dacia back. What we're seeing here is a U.S. And NATO commitment to victory and to the derogation or dismantling of Russian power to the extent that it has no options or alternatives. And escalation is now merely a kind of art form, a kind of performance that's been conjured out of thin air that speaks to something that doesn't exist. So the tanks that are going to be sent to Ukraine have to be formed into competent assault brigades if they're to have any value. But Ukraine doesn't have enough artillery, and Ukraine is using up every month twice the number of shells produced by all of NATO, including the U.S., and so the situation is increasingly dire, and yet no one can admit that. And the result is that the political machine at the top of the U.S. government is going to have no alternative if Ukraine is being crushed by Russia, and that begins to the Ukrainian position begins to unravel in the next several weeks and culminates in a collapse. The U.S. is going to be in a position where it has no alternative but to intervene and to escalate further, as you mentioned, with F-16s. And of course, none of the weapons that we can give Ukraine at this point can turn the tide, because Ukraine has just been too beaten down. Its infrastructure is not working, and it's taken so many losses. And it's lost all of its original NATO-trained officers. And to retrain new recruits who are, in their mid-teens or late 50s into a aggressive fighting force, it seems to me, again, to be impossible in the time frame we're operating under.
The question then about Ukraine fighting on for NATO, it is the frontline troops. NATO sees this. Do you have a sense that NATO's in a hurry or taking its time?
This is difficult because what's happening behind the scenes is critical. There are indications that senior people within the American military believe that some kind of alternative path needs to be taken, that this whole souffle that we've created is going to collapse soon. And yet the highest sort of political level in the U.S. government is totally committed, and NATO seems totally committed. And because they've been led to believe that NATO's armaments are a Wunderwaffe, a wonder weapon that will defeat the Russians, there is this generalized belief that all of these tanks will completely change the tide of war. And that's just not true. And the the situation is incredibly fragile. So what I think may be happening is that you have more thoughtful leaders, military leaders, who see the handwriting on the wall, and you have U.S. manipulation of NATO. For example, the U.S. managed to twist Germany's arm to give tanks, Leopard tanks, to the Ukrainians, while at the same time not promising to give M1s to Ukraine, but then saying, oh, well, we have to give them new tanks that haven't been built yet. So that will be over a year before you ever see M1s, if ever, in Ukraine. So what I'm saying is you have fissures opening now, and yet there's no overall vision either of how to achieve victory, which has led to a strategy, if you want to call it a strategy, of piecemeal escalation. And you have no alternative pathway. And it's interesting that the metaphor used in the early months of the war is, what kind of off-ramp can we give to Russia? But the problem is that the American Empire, NATO, have shut off their own off-ramp. So they have no path that has either been discussed or framed as a potential policy to move ahead on. And that means that the inevitable escalation that will come with the rolling collapse of Ukraine's war effort will probably lead to a spasmodic or reflexive NATO escalation, which will be right, in some shape or form equivalent to a World War III.
From the battlefield to the negotiating table, the concern now is that the war cannot be settled on the battlefield. It must be settled in chambers, whether back channel or a gathering of eagles in Paris, a long drawn out process. However, we're going to turn to that prospect as the Romans practiced it, and I'm going to ask Germanicus if he can imagine the NATO forces from Brussels and the Russian forces from Moscow negotiating at a peace table, because the Romans had requirements, one very large requirement. You must submit. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. When we come back, submission, is it imaginable? Gaius, John Batchelor, Germanicus Makovlejos, thank you.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.